And Moshe went back to the palace, and he was very, very sad for the Yidden. And he would go out different times to help the Yidden, to bring them water, and just to help them even carry things. He helped old man schlep stuff. One day he saw two men, Yidden, getting into a fight. One was lifting up his hand to hit the other one. And Moshe said, "Don't even lift up your hand! Don't you know you're a Rasha if you lift up your hand to fight? If you're going to fight, if the Jews are going to fight, how will Hashem ever help you not to be slaves anymore? Don't you want to be no slaves anymore? So then don't fight. If you're good, Hashem will help you, won't be slaves anymore." These two men were Dathan and Aviram. They said, "Don't tell us what to do. Don't boss us around. Maybe you're going to kill us like you killed the Mitzri. We saw you kill the Mitzri. We saw you bury him in the sand. Are you going to boss us around? You know what we're going to do? We're going to get you in trouble with Paroi." And they went and they tattled on Moshe to Paroi. They told Paroi that Moshe killed a Mitzri soldier. And now Paroi got angry at Moshe. And Paroi said, "I remember the contest when he was a little baby. And we thought he was just a little baby taking the charcoals. Maybe it was now the little baby taking the crown because he wants to be a big troublemaker. So let's get rid of him now." And now, kiddies, they brought Moshe for his punishment. The executioner, he had his axe. There was a chopping block, like a big piece of wood. They tied Moshe's head down on the block. The executioner brought up the axe over his neck to chop off his head. And the big, strong executioner brought down with all of his koyach the axe right on Moshe's neck. And all of a sudden, bang, the axe broke. And all it did was cut the rope, and Moshe stood up. Hashem had made his neck to be so hard, it broke the axe. And the executioner saw Moshe standing up next to him, and the axe is broken. He says, "Must be the axe is no good. I'm going to try again. Bring me a better axe." They tied Moshe's head down again. He brought a better axe, because of course, an executioner doesn't have one axe. He has a few axes. They brought a better axe. They tied his head down. The executioner puts up the axe, brings it down with his all koyach, and all of a sudden, bang, the axe breaks. The executioner screams, "Ah!" And Moshe gets the rope cut, and he stands up. The executioner says, "Something is fishy over here. Something is funny over here. Let's try again. Bring me my best axe." And this is the axe that he only used to chop off certain kind of heads, not every kind of head. And they brought his best axe. They tied Moshe's head down. They put it down. The executioner brings it down with double the koyach as hard as he can. And bang, the axe breaks. The executioner screams it hurt because the axe broke. Moshe stands up. This happened 10 times. Until Moshe got bored because nothing is happening, and Moshe ran away. He says, "I'm getting out of here." And he ran away. And the executioner starts screaming to the soldiers, "Chase after him! Catch him!" They chased him down the street, Kinelach, and they're running after him. He got to a crowded place in the marketplace, and Hashem made a nest for Moshe. He made a malach that looked exactly like Moshe. And the malach was running down one street, and Moshe turned down a different street. Now, because it was crowded, the soldiers only saw the malach who looked like Moshe, and they're chasing him down that street. In the meantime, Moshe then went down the other street, and they didn't see him go down, and nobody was chasing after him. And so the malach, Moshe the malach, is running down one street, and he turns on another street, and he goes past the town, over the bridge, into the fields. The soldiers are chasing him and chasing him through the fields, through the forests, And finally they get over there to the end of the road. It goes into a cave. The soldiers go into a cave and they bump their heads on the mountain and nobody was there. They look all around. Nobody was there. They said, hey, wait, he went into the cave. Where is he? I don't know. Other soldiers were outside the cave. Nobody came out. Nobody came in. The road ends in the cave. Where is he? By this time, the real Moshe had escaped from Mitzrayim, and nobody chased after him because they were chasing after a Malach who looked like Moshe. And Moshe went to a place called Midian. And tomorrow, babies, we go on with more Parsha Moshe. And so, Kinalach, when Moshe Rabbeinu got to Midian, he was by a well of water. All of a sudden, there came shepherds. Usually, shepherds are men taking care of sheep. And then, all of a sudden, there came girls, and they were taking care of the sheep. Girls. Moshe noticed that it's very strange that girls should be taking care of sheep. It's not exactly a girl's thing to take care of sheep. Girls do other things. And as he's wondering, why are these girls taking care of the sheep? All of a sudden, there came a group of boys. They picked up rocks from the ground. They started throwing the rocks at the And they started to scream and yell, get out of Midian, get out of our neighborhood, we don't want you to live here, get out and tell your father to get out. And the girls start to cry, leave us alone, we're not doing anything wrong, why do you throw rocks at us, why do you make trouble for us, and you talk against my father? And they said, because you're different. You're not like everybody else in the block. Everyone else in the block, in the house, they have a getchke. And you don't have any getchkes in your house. We saw your father throw away getchkes in the garbage cans. And by us, that's a terrible thing, that our getchkes should be in the garbage cans. Why your father does that? And the girls say, because our tati doesn't believe in getchkes. Our tati used to have those getchkes. Our tata used to have more getchkes than any other house in the whole city. Our tata has tried every getchke in the world. He has read every getchke book in the world. And he's tried every single getchke. But our tata says they're all full of baloney. And they don't work. And he says it doesn't even pay to have a getchke in the house. It's no good, those getchkes. All they do is waste time. And a person that believes in them and sits around the whole day with a getchke makes him to be not good. So our tati says, better in the garbage can than in the house. And he threw them all out. And you know what? You should do the same thing. And they picked up more rocks and they started throwing it at the girls. And Moshe ran over and he chased those boys away. Get out! What are you doing? How are you behaving? Look! Look how your getchkes make you behave. You're throwing rocks at girls. They can't even take care of themselves. And you big boys are throwing rocks at them. And Moshe Rabbeinu chased them away. And they got scared and they ran away. And the girls came to Moshe. Thank you! You saved us from those rocks and from those mean boys. Who are you? Where'd you come from? He says, well, my name is Moshe, and I come from Eretz Mitzrayim. Oh, yeah? Our tati used to live in Mitzrayim, and now he lives here in Midian. He didn't like it in Mitzrayim. He ran away, and he came here. Why'd you come home to our house and meet our father? Because, after all, you helped us. We want to tell our father how you helped us. So why don't you come to our house? You know, we'll give you a nice meal and you'll say hello to our father. Well, Kinalach, Moshe Rabbeinu went along to this house. And in this house lived Yisroi. Remember Yisroi? Yes. Their tati was Yisroi. And Moshe said Shalom Aleichem to Yisroi
And Yisroi said Shalom Aleichem to Moshe, and they talked, and Moshe ate a nice meal in the house over there. And Yisroi said to Moshe, come outside, let me show you my garden. After all, since I came here, I'm taking care of a beautiful, nice garden. Let me show you my garden. Okay, says Moshe, why not? And they go out in the garden, Kindalach, and he's showing the different kind of flowers and different kind of plants and different kind of trees growing in the garden. And all of a sudden, Moshe walks over to a certain blue stick that's sticking in the ground, and it has 10 letters in it, and I told you about that stick. And just as Yisroi is getting ready to explain to Moshe that interesting stick that's stuck in the ground that nobody could pull out, even the 20 men with a rope trying to schlep that stick out of the rock, and that stick that swallows up robbers at night that come to try to steal it, and it sucks them up like a vacuum cleaner, and they disappear with, together with their shoes and their boots, and you never see them again. All of a sudden, Moshe says, hey, Yisroi, what is this interesting blue stick? And he puts one hand on it, and all of a sudden, he just pulls it right out of the ground. And Yisroi, he can't believe his eyes. His eyes are popping out of his head. He says, this is the first time that anybody could take the stick out of the ground. It never happened before that anybody could even move that stick. And all of a sudden, you come along and take the stick out of the ground. You are the owner of that stick. It's a sign that you are the owner of that stick. You should have that stick. I want you to keep it. And Kinalach Moshe Rabbeinu got the stick that Hashem created on the first Erev Shabbos, right before Shabbos. And it belonged to Adam. And it belonged also to great Tzaddikim and to Yaakov Avinu. And it belonged to Yosef. And now it belongs to Moshe Rabbeinu. The Halakha stick that has the 10 letters of the Makkos, and that Moshe stuck into the Yam Suf to split it. This stick became now Moshe's. And he goes back into Yisroi's house, and Yisroi says, listen, Moshe, how about a shidduch? You're not married, are you? No, I'm not married. Well, I have daughters. And my daughter Tzipora, my oldest daughter Tzipora, a perfect shidduch. Ay, just for you. I have a perfect girl just for you. Mein Tzipora. My Tzipora. How about you and Tzipora having a chasana? We'll make a beautiful chasana. And so, kiddies, Moshe Rabbeinu married Yisroi's daughter, Tzipora. And he stayed by Yisroi, and he worked for Yisroi because he needed a job. I mean, you have to do something, you have to make some money, especially you have a family. And Yisroi gave Moshe the job of taking care of the Shepselach. And actually, Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to do that because he didn't want the girls to have to do that. It's a hard job. So Moshe was taking care of the Shepselach of Yisroi. And he married Tzipora, and they had two babies, Gershoim and Eliezer. These were the two sons of Moshe Rabbeinu. And now Moshe is taking care of the Shepselach, and he goes out in the field. How did Moshe take care of these animals? Now remember, Moshe is a great, great Halakha Tzaddik, but now his job is to take care of little animals. And some of them are not so little, they're big. He's taking care of animals. Well, because it's his job, he's doing the best job that he possibly can. He was very careful with each sheep. This is how a shepherd works. There are old sheep, there are baby sheep, and there are in-between sheep. And there are three kinds of grass. There's very tough, hard grass that's hard to chew. There's very soft, nice grass that's very easy to chew. And then there's the in-between grass. One of the things the shepherd does is that the old sheep and the baby sheep, they have to have the softest grass. Because both of those kind of sheep need soft grass. They can't chew hard grass. The strong, middle kind of sheep could have the tougher grass. So, of course, all the sheep want the soft grass, because that's the best grass. So he's got to lead each sheep to the kind of grass that's for him. That's one thing he has to do. And of course, if a shepherd gets his foot caught in a rock or on a stick or has any problem, the shepherd has to run over there to help the shepherd out from the problem. And of course, there are wolves that might come and want to eat up those shepherd. The shepherd has to watch out for wolves and scare them away. And he has to take the shepherd for a drink. And if a shepherd goes away from his mommy, the shepherd helps the shepherd find his mommy back. And he's very busy. Who is watching whatever a person does? Hashem. Hashem was watching two things. Number one, Hashem, of course, Hashem is watching millions of things. Just like it's the only thing in the world, Hashem is watching every single thing that's happening. But I'm saying two things. There's two main things happening now. One thing is that the Yidden are slaves in Mitzrayim. Hashem has his reasons why this has been going on, but it's time to stop the slavery. Number two, Hashem needs a leader to lead the Jews out of Mitzrayim. Hashem is looking for his leader. Now, at this time, Kinalach in Mitzrayim, a terrible, terrible thing was happening besides all the other slavery and meanness that was happening to the Yidden. Paroi got sick. Not just the bubu and the baichle, and not just the flu. He got tsairas. Tsairas is terrible bubus all over his body, probably because he was so schlecht. And tsairas is not just a regular kind of a sickness, it comes because of a vadus. He got covered all over his body with these terrible sore bubus, and he was scratching and itching and hurting and complaining and kvetching and crying, and he could hardly sit on his throne because he had so much sores all over the place. And he was crying, Bilam, Bilam, tell me what to do. Take away my sores. Do magic tricks. Call the doctor. Do anything. Take away all these boobos. They itch. They bother me. I'm uncomfortable. And Bilam says to Paroi, Paroi, we've tried doctors, we've tried magic tricks, we've tried everything, but I'm afraid they didn't work. And Paroi says, do something, Bilam. You got to do something. You're my smart advisor. You got to tell me what to do. And Bilam says, okay, I'll tell you what to do. Paroi, you take a bath every day. Paroi says, you mean go to the river swimming? I try to go to the river swimming and it still doesn't help me. No, says Bilam, not a bath in the river. A bath in the bathtub. Paroi says, I don't like a bath in the bathtub. I don't like taking a bath. Well, Bilam says, you have to take a bath, and not just with water. You're going to take a bath in blood. This is what you're going to do. Every day, you will take a group of Jewish children, little boys and little girls. You will get one of your executioners, and they will execute these children and put their blood in the bathtub until it's full with their blood. You will take a bath every day in the blood of Jewish children, and this is what's going to make your boo-boos feel better. And this is what happened every day. They would take a group of Yiddish Kinderlach away from the mommies and tatties for Paroi's bath. Now, you can imagine when the Yidden found this out that was happening, what a terrible, bitter, sorry, crying went up to Hashem from this. And they asked Hashem, please end the Golus. It's terrible. It's so terrible. And Kinalah Hashem knows everything, and Hashem sees everything. And Hashem says, it's time to end the Golus Mitzrayim. But now I need a Goyel Tzedek, a person that's going to take the Yidden out of Golus, a leader. Who's going to be a leader? a person that can take care of every single yid, not just all the yidin together, but every single yid for Hashem is like a diamond. A diamond, you don't just take a handful and put them in your pockets. You take each one at a time. You look at it, how beautiful it is, how special it is. Each one you take care of one by one. Even though you might have a lot of them, each one counts. Each one is worth so much. Hashem looks at the yidin the same way. It's not just all the yidin together that are important for Hashem. Every single yid, doesn't matter who it is, a little yid or a big yid, a little tzaddik or a big tzaddik. And even if he's not a tzaddik and he's a yid, Hashem loves each yid, and each yid is special like a diamond. And he looked into the world, and you know who he saw taking care, just like each one was special? It was Moshe Rabbeinu with the Shepselach. Hashem saw how Moshe Rabbeinu was taking care of the Shepselach, each one special. And Hashem said, if Moshe takes care of an animal, and why did he take care of the animal? Hashem makes an animal. This is a creation of Hashem. It's a life. If he takes care of an animal so special and so with caring, and he was very, very good to each animal, so just think how he's going to be with each yid. For sure he's going to take care of each yid in such a special way. So Hashem shows Moshe to be the leader of the yidin. And by the way, the same thing. Do you remember when Shmuel HaNavi went to find the king in Beis Lechem? And finally, remember, the oil went to David? The same reason, that's why Hashem picked David to be the king. He took care of each Shepselah one by one. Every Shepselah was special to David. So, Moshe Rabbeinu became a leader from Shepselah, and David HaMelech became the king because how he took care of Shepselah. One thing we learned from this, by the way, first you do a little job, do it as good as you can, even though you think it's a little job. Because if Hashem sees you doing the little job as good as you can, He's going to take you now to a very big job, and you'll do that well. You go and you do whatever you're doing, you do it as good as you can, Hashem will see that, and from that He's going to let you have a chance to do something even better, and you'll do it good. Hashem will help you to do it good. This is a very important lesson. A person sometimes says, oh, look what I have to do. I have to help mommy with these things, or I have to do this, or for my Rebbe, or in my class. It's just little things. What should I do it good for? I'll just, do it any way it comes out, and I'll wait for a very important thing, then I'll do it good. This is not the right way to do. Whatever you're supposed to do, of course, we're talking about this is what Hashem wants you to do. And if your mommy tells you to do something, it's what Hashem wants you to do. It's kibud av v'eim. If your Rebbe in Yeshiva tells you to do something, or you know something is right to do, this is the kavan of Hashem. And if you do that good, that's what Hashem wants. Then, if He sees you doing that good, He'll give you a chance to do something very important good. But if you just do a small thing, you don't care about it, Hashem is not going to let you so fast have the chance to do a big thing. Because first you do a little thing good, then you do a big thing good. And so Hashem Kinloch chose Moshe Rabbeinu to become Moshe Rabbeinu. He was only called Moshe. Rabbeinu means our Rebbe. This is, of course, the name we gave him later on, but we call him Moshe Rabbeinu. Avraham is Avraham Avinu, our father. He was the first Yid. And Yitzchak and Yaakov are called Avinu, the Avos. Moshe was called Moshe Rabbeinu. He taught us the Torah. He was our Rebbe. He was the Rebbe of every Yid. Moshe Rabbeinu is the Rebbe of all the Rebbeim. The greatest of all the Tzaddikim. Now, and the greatest Navi. Put your hand down. And so the Eibishter chose Moshe to become the Yidin's leader. And so Hashem chose Moshe to become Moshe Rabbeinu and the leader of the Yidin. And one day, Moshe was on a certain mountain with the Shepselach, taking them out to eat. This happened to be Har Sinai. But that time, there was no special thing about Har Sinai yet, other than Hashem knew that this is going to become a special mountain from what's going to happen. As Moshe Rabbeinu is with the Shepselach, all of a sudden, he sees a very strange thing. There's a bush, it's on fire. Now, there's such a thing as a bush being on fire. For some reason, there's a fire. The strange thing was, as the bush was burning, it was not getting burnt up. So he knew this is no regular kind of a fire, because usually if you have a bush, it's usually dry. If it's on fire, then it's going to burn up, the fire goes out, and that's it, the smoke goes away, and the bush is gone. This bush was staying there. It was not getting burnt up, and the fire was burning. Moshe Rabbeinu knew this is a special thing. He didn't know what it is, what's going on. He came close to the bush. All of a sudden, he heard a voice speaking to him, and this was the voice of Hashem. The first time that Hashem spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu. And he says to Moshe Rabbeinu, I want you to go to Mitzrayim and take the Yidden out of Mitzrayim, to become the leader of the Yidden, and I want you to bring them to this mountain. And I want the Yidden to serve me by this mountain, because I want to give the Yidden the Torah. I'm taking them out of Mitzrayim, not just to let them go out of slavery. Of course, that's very important, that Hashem should let them go out of slavery. Hashem says right away to Moshe Rabbeinu, the reason the Yidden should go out of Mitzrayim is to come and serve Hashem by the mountain. And Hashem says, I'm going to give the Yidden the Torah and the mitzvahs. They're going out of Mitzrayim to become my people. And the way they become my people is by serving Hashem through Torah and mitzvahs. And right away, Moshe Rabbeinu got very afraid. Hashem is speaking to him. And Hashem told him to go to Paroi and speak to Paroi to let the Yidden go. Now, Moshe Rabbeinu did not want to go to Paroi. He did not want to become the leader of the Yidden. He says, what am I? Who am I to become the leader of the Yidden? Such a great job. Who am I? I'm just a regular person. Also, I can't speak well. How can I go speak to Paroi? I can't speak well. Since he burned his mouth on the hot coal, when he was a little child, he could not speak well. He burned his mouth so bad. Hashem says, don't worry. I'm going to tell Aharon, your brother, that he should go with you, and he will speak. You will tell Aharon what to say, and he will say whatever has to be said to Paroi. So he'll go with you. And as for you becoming the leader of the Yidden, you're the best one. I saw how you were behaving with the Shepselach, and I know you're going to do the good job and the job that I want. And Moshe says, now, Hashem, let's say I do go to Mitzrayim, and all of a sudden I say to the Yidden, I'm here to take you out of Mitzrayim. They'll never listen to me. They'll never believe me. All of a sudden somebody comes and says, I'm going to take you out of Mitzrayim. How will they know I'm telling the truth? They'll think I'm just making them some kind of mice over here. How will they believe me? And Hashem said to Moshe, I'm going to give you certain signs, and you're going to tell the Yidden certain things, and you're going to show them certain things, and they'll believe you. He told them a certain name of Hashem, the Diskenim, the Talmidei Chachamim. There were Talmidei Chachamim and great Yidden that were in Mitzrayim, and they knew a certain name of Hashem, that someday when somebody comes to Mitzrayim to take the Yidden out, he's going to say this name of Hashem, and Hashem told it to Moshe Rabbeinu. Also, he told Moshe to take his stick. Remember the stick that he found in Midian by Yisro's house? And he said, you're going to take your stick, you'll throw it down on the ground, it's going to become a snake. And of course, when you throw a stick down and it becomes a snake, it's not a regular thing. The Yidden are going to see this, and they'll see that you have a special koiches. And then you're going to pick up the snake back, it'll turn back into a stick. And Moshe Rabbeinu did it. And he also said, you're going to pour water on the ground and it can turn into blood. And he did it. He showed Moshe how he could do all of these things.